Bless you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we do thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your great love, your deep compassion, absolute commitment towards every one of us. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you're able to speak in these days. Thank you that no one can shut out your voice. And we pray, O God, that you'll give us ears to hear, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The old story is told about a country boy that went to visit his friend in the big city. And as the country boy and the city boy walked down the main high street of this big bustling city, suddenly the country boy stopped and said, "I can hear a cricket." And the city boy said, "What do you mean you can hear a cricket? You couldn't possibly hear a cricket with all the noise of the traffic and the bustle of the shopping crowds. It would be impossible to hear a cricket." But sure enough, the country boy reached out to a crevice in the building nearby and pulled out a short black cricket. The city boy said, "That's amazing. How did you do it?" The country boy said, "It's simple. You watch." He put his hand into his pocket, got hold of a handful of coins, and as he threw them up in the air and they came tingling down onto the ground, suddenly everyone spun round and froze. And the country boy said, "You see, it depends what you're listening for." And you know, it's a fact, isn't it? God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? The voice of God is coming to us in many, many different ways. And we just need to be those that are listening, that are taking in what God is saying to us. Now, I want to speak about the voice of the Lord tonight from Psalm 29. It begins by saying this in verse 3. "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to swirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory." Do you know, when you're hearing the voice of the Lord, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever is coming upon you, that voice of God to your heart, to your inner man, it causes you to want to shout out some praise, some thanksgiving, some cry of help, some sense of acknowledgement that God is God, whatever the circumstance. And the voice of the Lord is so wonderful. Now, I was reading an article in the Daily Mail just recently. It was a very strange article. In the Daily Mail, it was entitled "The Silent CD." And this is what it said: "Music lovers are snapping up a new CD even though it's totally silent. Not a note is played on the so-called piano recital selling at £5.29. The chairman of the Noise Abatement Society has said, "The silent CD is indeed a welcome innovation." Now, praise God, you and I don't have to sit around pretending in silence to hear God's voice speak to us. You see, the voice of the Lord is not a delusion, it's a dynamic power. And God is speaking today to his people, and it's a wonderful thing. We all need to hear God's voice throughout our lives, not only so that we can more effectively minister to others, we need to hear God's voice for our own encouragement, our own comfort, our own reassurance, our own victory, our own guidance and relationship with the Lord. In Psalm 29 here, from verse 3 to 9, look at this. 7 times in 7 verses, we read the phrase, "the voice of the Lord." Now, God speaking to man is extremely prominent right throughout the Bible. For example, in the Old Testament, frequently we read, "The voice of the Lord came to Moses, and God spoke to Joshua, and the word of the Lord came to Noah. God's voice was heard by Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah, Ezekiel, Nehemiah." Many times, people were actually hearing with clarity the voice of the Lord. When we come into the New Testament, In the Gospels, Jesus said in John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." One of the signs of being in a relationship with God and being able to walk in His will is that we hear His voice. We follow what He's saying to us. In the very last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we find that phrase occurring consistently, "Let he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." We can have ears but not be hearing what God is actually saying to us. Now, hearing God speak should be the norm, not the exception for an elite few, but for all Christians. Let me show you in John 8, verse 47. The only qualification that we need isn't that we've been to Bible college for 3 years, or we've got all sorts of qualifications, or have been a Christian for 80 years. No, this is what it says in John 8, verse 47. "Everyone born of God hears the words of God." Simply that we've been born again, that we've come into that relationship, brings us into the position where we can hear God actually speak to us. But for this to be possible, we've got to be in tune with God. Consider the example of the radio. Now, not the digital radio, the illustration's lost on the digital radio, but the old radio where you've got to turn that dial, and if it isn't right on the station, what is being communicated will be distorted. It could be misunderstood. You might not hear it at all. You've got to get that tuned exactly in, and then you can hear with clarity what is coming across the airwaves and what is actually being spoken through the radio. It's the same with God. Unless we're tuned into God and in that right relationship, so difficult to hear His voice speaking to us. We lose the sensitivity to hear God's voice when we spend little time with Him, or if He gets marginalized in our lives through busyness or other priorities. And that's exactly what happened to the Laodicean Christians when they'd grown lukewarm. That you see, through complacency and compromise, they were not tuned in to the Lord. And in Revelation 3:20, the Lord had to say to them, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." What was the Lord doing outside of the door of the church? Sometimes it can be outside of the door of our circumstances, outside of the door of our experience. And so often it's because of the busyness of our lives and the neglect of the time that we spend with Him that He gets pushed out. And you know, God will never force His way in to speak to us. God, with gentleness and grace and love, says, if anyone, He's appealing, if anyone will open the door, they'll welcome me in, then I will come in and have fellowship with them. They will hear my voice. So I want us tonight just to consider 7 different ways that God speaks to us, that the voice of the Lord comes to us. Number one, the voice of the Lord comes through our conscience. Thank God we've got a conscience. God has created us with a conscience. That sense that when something's wrong, something's not right, we aren't doing the things that we ought to, God speaks to our conscience. Sometimes in that still small voice. Sometimes by a growing awareness. Sometimes with a strong impression. But right from childhood, God speaks to us by His Spirit about His values of right and wrong, about eternity. This is what we read in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. God has placed eternity into the heart of man. There's that sense within us, there must be more to life than this. And you know, our conscience is absolutely essential to come in to a relationship with Christ. That's how we were converted. We could not be converted if it wasn't for our conscience. God speaks by His Spirit through our conscience. John 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. At the age of 16, coming from a non-Christian family, my mum, dad, brother, and two sisters. They had no interest whatsoever in Christianity. I went along to an evangelistic crusade, and the preacher was preaching, and God spoke to my conscience. He convicted me of my sin, of his righteousness, and of judgment to come. The old hymn says, "My hardened heart was touched, his pardoning voice I heard, and joy and peace came in while listening to his word." That's why the scripture says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. The time to respond to God is when he speaks, and he'll speak to our conscience. May God grant us a tender conscience. Do you know, when things aren't right, immediately we hear God speak and we put it right. I often find this when I think of the example of driving. 30,000 miles a year, I'm driving up and down, and you get some very inconsiderate motorists, very rude motorists, and they'll cut in on you or swear at you or do all manner of things, and so often there's a reaction. And you know, whenever that happens to me and there's a reaction, instantly God speaks to my conscience and says, "Jan, that's not the way to behave. That's not the way to react. Jan, you've got to speak at that meeting in an hour's time in that church." And do you know, within seconds, God speaks to me. And throughout our Christian experience, we need to be praying, "God, give me a sensitive conscience that when I know things aren't right, I immediately put it right." Secondly, God speaks to us not just through our conscience, but through creation. In Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge." We can hear God's voice through the diversity, complexity, precision, microscopic nature, and enormity of creation. I know, going on from my experience of salvation as a teenager, that's certainly what happened to me. I, living at home with mum and dad, used to blaspheme, they used to swear, they were smokers, they were drinkers, and what, not a nice atmosphere. And as a newborn Christian, whenever I had a problem and things were getting too much for me and I just wanted to be alone with God, I'd go into a big field that was near where we'd live about midnight. And this big field at midnight, I used to walk around and pour out my heart to God. And invariably, as I looked around at the wonder of God's creation, at the incredible nature of what God was able to do, all my problems came into perspective. When I saw the greatness of God, no wonder the psalmist says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Sometimes we seem to have huge problems, but when we begin to see that God is bigger, God is greater, God is stronger than anything that we're going through, it begins to strengthen us. Do you know, as I walked around that field and I looked up to the heavens at midnight with all my problems, offering them up to God, I would be reminded of that old song, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy works throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art." And I'd always come home rejoicing. Oh, whatever I'd got to face when I got back home, and whatever I'd gone through that day, I'd always come back home rejoicing when I stopped to think of the greatness of what God was able to create. The word of his power was enough. All they had to do was to speak, "Let there be light," and there was light. God flung the stars into space. He created the universe. And it caused me to see how great and marvelous was God. Romans 1, verse 19 and 20. "What may be known of God is manifest in creation, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You see, if God could speak through a donkey or speak through a burning bush, God can speak through anything that he's created to begin to get our attention. Thirdly, the voice of the Lord comes through the revelation of Scripture, not just ink on paper or a memory verse, but the spirit of revelation where His Word comes alive to us, leaps off the pages. We begin to see things that have always been there in the Bible, verses that we've known and read for years and years, but they just come alive in a new and wonderful way. This is true, isn't it, when we think of various doctrines, churches all around the country, you know, the doctrine of water baptism, or the doctrine of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, miracles. They're there in the Scriptures, but so many churches are blind to them. So often people say, when I ask them with regards to water baptism, oh, the Lord hasn't spoken to me yet about water baptism. And yet it's there in the Scriptures. They're blind to it. And the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of tongues that's for every believer, so many churches are blind to it, but suddenly it'll come alive by the Spirit of revelation. This is what happened to John Wesley. John Wesley was a clergyman and a preacher, and he wasn't converted. But one day, by revelation, he was wonderfully born again and said, "My heart was strangely warmed." He had that revelation of the things that he had preached just from his mind and his memory, but they came alive to his heart. A man called Reverend Haslam, don't know whether you've ever heard of him, from Cornwall. You can buy his book, and he was a preacher, a minister in a church, and he'd preach week after week, but he wasn't converted, wasn't born again, and he preached the sermon week after week. And suddenly, he was converted one day halfway through his own sermon. And somebody in the congregation noticed that there was something different now about his preaching. And they suddenly stood up in the middle of the congregation and shouted out, "The preacher's been converted!" And it just comes alive, becomes so real in the circumstances that we go through in our lives. God speaks through the revelation of Scripture. Then fourthly, the voice of the Lord comes through other people. God may use a friend, a teacher, a parent, a stranger to get His voice, His word through to us, to convey His message of truth. And when I think going on in my testimony of what God's dealing in my life was, the call into full-time service 38 years ago, God didn't speak to me. God spoke to another person to speak to me. I used to study the Scriptures with a brethren elder from one of the chapels there. Once a week, we'd one-to-one around a coffee and looking into the Scriptures. And one day, this brethren elder said, "Jan, God has called you into full-time Christian service." Well, God hadn't called me personally. But then I prayed about it. I opened my heart to the possibility, and I realized God was calling me, and God used this most unlikely person to speak to me, to bring His voice to me, to call me into full-time Christian ministry. He uses other people, maybe a sermon, a conversation. It could be through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That word of prophecy may come, that word of knowledge, that gift of discernment, the word of wisdom. God speaks through the gifts of the Holy Spirit into our situation. In fact, God remarkably spoke very clearly to me through a prophetic word that a lady gave me. I went on in that time, having been converted, having moved into full-time Christian service, and joined the Good News Crusade. For 6 years, I was with Don Double, an international evangelist, on the Good News Crusade. But you know, I felt so restricted because there was only room for one evangelist. Everyone else was support workers on the team, and I just felt so restricted and not free. And one day I went to a phone box, so it tells you how long ago it was. No mobile phones then. I went in the phone box to speak to this lady that had a prophetic ministry, and the two phone books were in place, the yellow pages and the normal phone books, and no vandalism going on there. And the yellow pages were open. I was speaking to this lady about the situation, and she said, "Jan, God's given me a word for you." She said, I've got a picture and you're like a bird that's got its wings clipped. And God wants you to fly, wants you to begin to soar into a new dimension. He wants you to leave the team of Good News Crusade and begin to launch out on your own. And the amazing thing is this, as she gave that prophetic word, I was holding the phone, she was giving the word, I was staring down at the yellow pages, not turned to any page, just looked down at the first page that was there. And on the first page that I was looking at while she was speaking was an advert for stairway lifts, for stair lifts. And if you know I'm sure you will, you're familiar with the motive of the Stanner stair lifts. That was the advert that I was staring at while this woman was speaking to me. A bird soaring, its wings no longer clipped, but knowing this liberty and this freedom to enter into a new dimension. And that voice of the Lord in a prophetic way came to me, and I left the team of Good News Crusade and launched out on my own, and it was the best decision that I'd ever made 30 years ago. And God's voice was so clear. Then the voice of the Lord comes through a variety of circumstances. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, God is working in every situation for good to those that love him and accord according to his purpose. Isn't it marvelous the way that God is able, even the most difficult, the most painful, the most awful of circumstances, because we love him and because we are called according to his purpose, God can bring good out of evil. He can turn a situation around and use it in the most amazing of ways. For example, sometimes God will speak through uncomfortable circumstances. It might be a crisis, perhaps physical, emotional, or financial crisis to get our attention. C.S. Lewis once said, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And the Apostle Paul, this godly man, this man that loved the Lord, that was in the center of God's will, he understood that God used uncomfortable, painful circumstances to speak to him. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. We were so utterly unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Why, we'd felt that we'd received the very sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul understood that he could have been so easily elevated by his great ministry, by his great calling, by the great following that he had, got puffed up with pride. He could so easily have got into that place where he forgot how much he needed the Lord. And sometimes a crisis will come, an uncomfortable circumstance will happen to make us realize how much we need him. Every hour, I need thee. It drives us to our knees. It causes us to get into the Word of God. It makes us cry unto the Lord. We may not have all the answers or understand why things are happening, but it causes us to reach out to God in a way that perhaps previously we wouldn't have done so. Sometimes God will speak to us through unusual circumstances. I think of a backslidden pastor's daughter in Warrington. This backslidden pastor's daughter had gone right away from God, had just left any interest of the Lord. But one day, she was standing at a bus stop, one of these glass-encased bus stops with posters on the bus stop. And one of the posters that were on the bus stop, right beside where she was standing, was advertising The Lion King, the film or the musical, The Lion King. And the big heading on top of this poster about The Lion King was simply, "The King is coming." And you know, that so convicted her. She wept and broke down under conviction in repentance, gave her heart and life back to the Lord, and today she's leading the church with her husband in Warrington. And from a backslidden state, well away from God, God spoke to her through the most unusual of situations to bring her to a place of surrender where her life could be usefully, fruitfully, wonderfully used again. And sometimes God will speak to us through dangerous circumstances that shocks us, that startles us. Something suddenly happens to us and we begin to be aware of God's protection, God's love, God's amazing grace. Let me tell you, when I was 14 years of age, I used to love making bows and arrows. We'd get the branch of a tree and nice, it had to be the right sort of branch, the thickness and lovely tension within it, and put a string on it. And then I'd get the bamboo arrow, nice thin arrow like that. But I'd put the head of a dart, the metal head of a dart, in the front of the arrow there and wind it round like that. And it's got a nice weight to it, and there was a piercing sharpness to that dart there. And one day I pulled back and there was a wonderful tension on this bow. I pulled it right back and pointed it up into the air, and it went soaring completely out of sight. And then about 6 seconds later, thud, it came right down, literally without any exaggeration, about an inch and a half from my foot. Right into the ground, inch and a half from my foot. Can you imagine if that came down on my head? I wouldn't be here today. It would have easily killed me. And I wonder, you've been through situations like that where you think, wow, if that hadn't been for God, if God hadn't been with me in those circumstances, and it startles us, makes us aware of the protection of God. Right throughout our Christian lives, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And it's grace that'll lead me home. God speaks. We become aware of his incredible protection. Sixthly, God speaks to us through his sovereign power, that the way that God is able to maneuver people, situations, and things that are completely out of the control of man, because he is sovereign. In Revelation 3, verse 7, he opens the door no man can close, and he closes the door no man can open. And in his sovereignty, let me give you two clear examples. Jonah running away from the call of God. Jonah with a hardened heart in rebellion, fleeing away from God's will. Now, God in his sovereignty used a massive whale, a mighty storm, and a minute worm to speak to Jonah and to bring him to repentance. First of all, the Bible clearly says, and God prepared the mighty storm and this great thrashing storm, worse than Storm Doris that we had the other day. God prepared it and he sent the storm. And Jonah on the boat there was thrown overboard, and then God prepared the massive whale. Here is God maneuvering a whale in the middle of the ocean to get exactly to where Jonah was and swallowed up Jonah. And God spoke to the whale and it spewed Jonah up out onto dry land. Have you ever stopped to consider the precision necessary to get that whale the right distance from where it was to land, so that when it spewed Jonah up, it wouldn't just spew him into the sea and drown, it spewed him up onto dry land. God maneuvered the fish to that exact spot where it was necessary. And then Jonah gets up and he shelters under a tree that's sheltering from the blistering sun. And the Bible says, and God prepared a worm to eat that tree, to destroy it, take away all that shelter. And in the end, Jonah came to the place of repentance and returning to the will of God. And God in his sovereignty is able to do that. But the clearest example in Scripture is found in the New Testament, when God spoke to Saul of Tarsus, the one that hated Christ, the one that believed Jesus lived, the one that could accept Jesus died, but the one who refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Saul of Tarsus. God smote him, the most hardened, the most hostile, the one furthest away from ever coming to Christ. Do you know, God converted Saul of Tarsus when he was unwilling to be converted, against his own will. He didn't want to become a Christian, but Saul of Tarsus was arrested by God. God spoke to him in that blinding light. God called him and changed his life, made it fruitful and useful for the glory of God. That's encouraging to us when we think of our unconverted loved ones, backslidden sons and daughters, people that seem the most unlikely to ever come to Christ, those hardened hearts at work, or those difficult next door neighbours that we've got. If God could move upon Saul of Tarsus and change a man like that, God can change anyone. He can speak to the hardest of hearts, because he is the sovereign Lord. And finally, God speaks through prayer. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, there's an invitation that comes from the Lord, but it's dependent upon us wanting to hear God's voice. God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you." Some Christians, if they called unto God and he answered, they'd get the shock of their life. No, God says, "I will answer you. I will respond when you call unto me." I think of Bartimaeus. What an example Bartimaeus is of somebody lost in darkness, full of despair, his circumstances seemingly beyond hope and no point to his life. And yet Bartimaeus called unto Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the Lord answered him and called him to himself. But then he spoke these words, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" And the voice of the Lord would say the same thing to us. God invites us to call to him, to declare what it is that we need. God will answer. "What do you want me to do for you?" In our struggles and difficulties, with our problems, big or small, when we feel overwhelmed and weak, when we need encouragement and comfort, when we need that reassurance, the Lord's inviting us to call unto him, to ask for that help in our time of need. And God promises he'll speak and bring that into our experience. One last thing to say then. When we're seeking to hear the voice of the Lord, we need caution, because not every voice that we hear is God's voice. You know, these people that go around saying, "The Lord has told me." I've come across hundreds of people in my time that say, "The Lord has told me to do something," and they've started doing it, and it's ended in disaster, not only for them, but for the repercussions it's had upon other people, because the Lord hadn't told them. The enemy is well able to speak and try and direct or misdirect as well as God. And that's why we read in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they be of God." We must always ask ourselves, how does what we've heard line up with three things? Number one, Scripture. Number two, the witness of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. And number three, the counsel from spiritual and trusted friends. As far as Scripture is concerned, anything that we feel we hear must always be consistent with Scripture and never contradict God's Word. Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light and to my path." It'll guide us through the minefield that's all around us in life today. With the witness of the Holy Spirit, that inner conviction that comes to us, the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you've been called." That word "rule" literally means umpire.
make the final decision. And you know those situations, sometimes we make a decision and we lose our peace about it. Or we make a decision and we've got peace about it. And God is showing us through that peace and assurance what His will is. And counsel from spiritual and trusted friends, so important. Proverbs 11 verse 14, in the abundance of counselors there is security. So we need never be led astray by the enemy's voice when we take on board the fact that God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? But we've got that desire to hear the right voice, and we check it out with others and listen to what God is saying, and simply come to that place and say, Lord, would you unblock my ears? Would you lift my expectation? Would you increase my faith? Help me to have a sensitive conscience. Help me to hear your voice through circumstances, through other people, through scripture, through prayer, through creation. Let's look around and begin. Maybe as you go home, look around at creation. Go out into the back garden and look up and let God speak to you about whatever you're going through and whatever you're facing. Hear the voice of God come into your situation. God wants to speak to us as individuals and as a church. And when we've got ears to hear, when we're tuned in to Him, we begin to hear His voice. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Father. Lord God.